All right, I want to talk about warnings, storm warnings. Are there too many? Are we as consumers, like, are we doing our job as far as following them and paying attention to get some insight? We go to Chris Vigasky, who is a meteorologist. He is the manager of the Wisconsin Environmental Mesonet at the University of Wisconsin College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. And if you know me, Chris, I love a mesonet.
Who doesn't love a mesonet these days?
I mean, I tell you what. Thanks for being with us today. Talk to me about the warnings, because obviously we're all, I mean, watching what happened in Texas is absolutely devastating. Heartbreaking, the flooding so fast, and the death toll 95. I mean, my goodness. But there's been, of course, the usual sort of political finger pointing. You have there have been conversations about the National Weather Service and warnings. But I know warnings, that the issue of warnings, are we over warning? Are we communicating them clearly? I know that's something you've been interested in, right?
I have been. You know, it's been a topic of conversation among meteorologists for decades. I mean, you can look back to the early 1990s when we were even saying, is a forecast good if we get everything right, but nobody responds to it?
Huh. Yeah.
And that's where we're at still. We can issue a severe thunderstorm warning. We can issue a tornado warning. We can issue a flash flood warning. But is that warning getting to the public in a way that gets them to respond the way that we want them to respond or the way that they need to respond to save their lives? And that's the big question, and it's the question that we're going to be working on for years to come.
Yeah, it is such a fascinating question, right? Because, and I think about this as, now I'm a talk show host, but I spent 25, 30 years in television news, where you think, all right, you can do the greatest story in the world, but if nobody sees it, what's it good for? What's the point? And I think that's sort of the question in the meteorological world, right?
It really is. You know, we put out, the National Weather Service put out warnings and watches July 3rd, July 4th. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a flood watch for Central Texas. At 1 o'clock in the morning, flash flood warning for Kerrville. At 4 o'clock in the morning, flash flood emergency, that's the highest level of warning for Kerrville, saying you need to get to higher ground. And it's a question of how do you respond to that in the middle of the night? Do you
right.
have your WEA alerts turned on your phone so that the alarm starts blaring? A lot of people have turned those off. Do you have people that are looking at the warning and just ignoring it? I've seen a couple of cases of that happening in Texas. And then if you don't have the WEA alerts turned on your phone, how else are you getting that warning? Do you have a NOAA weather radio? Do you have a phone app that is from your local TV station that's sending you notices? And then when you get that warning, are you looking at that and really saying, okay, this is something that's going to affect me. I need to take action. I need to move to higher ground. I need to go to a shelter.
So, Chris, you're in Wisconsin, where the geography is sort of similar to what we have here in the metro in Minnesota. And I definitely, like, I looked at this, and I got to be honest, like, when I see a flash flood warning in our part of the country, I pay attention to it, but I sort of, you know what I mean? I barely pay attention to it because we don't, I don't know that. Well, one, there are so many warnings already. Two, I'm more concerned about tornadoes around here. Three, there's no risk that my home is going to get washed away in a flash flood based on where I live. Am I wrong to, you know, this weekend I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, I should I be paying more attention to this stuff? And also the practical question of there's a lot of warnings. There's a lot of warnings. I mean, should we adjust our life every single time something comes out?
You know, I think that when a warning comes out, and a lot of people do this already, but when a warning comes out, people tend to look for confirmation. You look to the TV station and see if they've got a picture of the flooding or a picture of the tornado.
Yeah.
So people need to do that. It helps to have confirmation. You don't always just grab one piece of information and run with it. And, you know, certainly here in Wisconsin, over there in Minnesota, right along the river, that's, you know, if a flood warning comes out for the river and you're along it, you really need to consider
for
that.
Sure, yeah.
If you're a little bit further away, you can take that step to do some additional confirmation. Down in Texas, in Hill Country, which is where this took place, it's called Hill Country for a reason. There's a lot of hills, canyons, valleys, that funnel all of this water into a single channel, which is why you can get these extreme rises in the river. And we saw the Guadalupe River go from a couple of feet to over 25 feet in, you know, a matter of minutes to an hour or so. So it's really very dependent on where you are, but it's always important to pay attention to the warnings. And when you receive one, to think about what's going on, see what's going on, and make a decision, and don't just, you know, scroll by it.
Chris Vigasky is with us. He's a meteorologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So, Chris, I have so many questions. Let's start with this overnight issue, because we had tornadoes in the overnight hours here in Minnesota a couple weekends ago. Overnight storms freak me out. It is a time where, you know, often the media will be on, but sometimes cuts in staffing and everything. You don't always have the kind of wall-to-wall media coverage that you might have if it happened during regular hours. What could we be doing better to get that warning information kind of to the finish line, to the user, to the neighbor in those overnight hours? It's hard.
It really is. You know, the overnight is kind of a worst case scenario. We see the most tornado fatalities. We see the most flooding fatalities at night. People are asleep, or if they are out, they don't see the tornado. They don't see the water coming over the roadway. So it's especially important to be thinking about what are we doing for these overnight events. And one thing that is always recommended is to have multiple ways to receive that warning information. Things fail, and nothing is perfect 100% of the time. Your phone, you may have thought you plugged it in, and the plug didn't work, and now your phone's dead, and you don't receive anything over the phone. So you need to have a backup option. So, you know, it's always about thinking of, what am I going to do if? So, you know, pay attention to things throughout the day. Know if there's going to be severe weather overnight, or if there's a chance of severe weather overnight. Get your phone charged before you go to bed. Have that weather radio and have that program to turn on if a warning is issued for your area. Know what you're going to do if a warning is issued for your area. Because if that alarm goes off and wakes you up at 1:32 in the morning, you're going to spend a little bit of time waking yourself up before you know what's going on. So if you have that plan in place, you're not trying to develop a plan while you're groggy and while you're trying to figure out what's going on.
Some of this, Chris, and understandably, some of this, you know, people go political on these sorts of things. And I think, you know, the impact of budget cuts and staffing cuts always should be analyzed. But in this case, from what I've been able to ascertain, first of all, federal budget cuts don't take effect until October. It seemed like they did have extra meteorologists on board in Texas in the overnight hours. And these warnings did come out when you look at the timeline. You're an expert. When you look at this, do you see anything there? Is there anything in the, you know, President Trump blaming or the federal budget blaming?
Yeah, in this situation, I don't think we saw impacts from any of the cuts that have been ongoing. There are 6 to 7 weather balloon sites that are around Texas, and they all launch their balloons the evening of July 3rd. And we've been seeing some issues with balloon launches around the United States in the last few months. But this isn't always going to be the case where everything, you know, works out the way we want it to. If we continue with cuts to staffing, cuts to funding, that impacts our ability to get a good forecast and to get those warnings out. And if the new budget goes through as is, if Congress doesn't make changes to it, it would zero out a lot of the atmospheric research that's done at national labs, at cooperative institutes that are doing work now to issue better forecasts and issue better warnings in the future to create new forecast tools. So the funding needs to be there so that we can continue to get as good a forecast and as good of warnings out as we can.
The real issue, it seems, is are we taking these seriously enough? And frankly, in this scenario, and I think we all hate to look at a scenario and say sometimes catastrophic things happen. And in the middle of the night, in an area with probably questionable connectivity, frankly, some safety questions about if you tried to evacuate everybody in the middle of the night, it's dark and windy and narrow and hilly, and that brings up other safety issues. I mean, sometimes, I hate to be defeatist about it, but sometimes just terrible, terrible, terrible things happen.
You know, sometimes things do happen, but I do want to point to a success story that there was another camp along the Guadalupe River there, and they evacuated in the middle of the night and got people to safety before the floodwaters reached the camp. So it is possible that even with everything working and conspiring against you, that if you are paying attention to the weather, you are paying attention to the warnings, you can make those decisions to get people to safety.
Yeah, that quick action. I mean, that was the Mo Ranch that evacuated 70 kids and adults. And they were monitoring it. And it is a lesson for all of us, I think, how important it is to take this stuff seriously. Chris, it's so interesting getting your perspective, and I really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Chris Vigasky, meteorologist at University of Wisconsin in Madison. We let him on despite that, but, you know, there's a little bit of wisdom in Madison, too. 449. That's a Marquette grad talking here on Drive Time.